Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allendary, and I'm an infectious disease specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk to healthcare professionals about what you need to know about COVID-19, as well as community and public health.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So let's get started. Violence as a disease. Another epidemic in America is getting worse and worse: gun violence. 2021 is on pace to be the most gun violent year in a long time. So far this year, there have been 498 mass shootings, which equates to 1.92 mass shootings per day. That's 15% higher than last year, which was 1.67 per day, according to CNN. From 2019 to 2020, there was a 65% increase in firearm sales. While sales have since decreased about 25%, they are still much higher than one would have predicted.
When the topic of gun violence or violence in general comes up, often we think about it from the macro perspective and by the numbers. However, Gary Sletkin, an infectious disease specialist and one of my colleagues, and others have begun to think about it from a different perspective. Dr. Sletkin, who has a very accomplished career combating infectious diseases overseas, came back to the U.S. and was driven to do something about the issue of violence. He believes that violence acts in the same way as other communicable diseases do. They spread.
Sletkin said that the greatest predictor of violence was, in fact, a preceding act of violence. In the early 2000s, Sletkin invented a program now known as Cure Violence. The Chicago-based program relies on three main pillars: to interrupt transmission, reduce risk, and three, to change community norms.
Now, when implemented in a city, the Cure Violence program has the power to reduce violence by 41 to 73% just in the first year. And Sletkin believes that violence is the next big challenge the public health community will have to overcome. I often say that as infectious disease doctors, we're actually the world's experts on managing gun violence, because there's 330 million Americans and there's 330 million guns in the U.S. And because of our technological advances in the hospitals, as physicians, we have to manage the care for somebody who has been the victim of gun violence. And so this is an unfortunate reality that as physicians, and especially infectious diseases physicians, our expertise has increased significantly as a result of the increase in gun violence that we see.
That's what's scary, is that because there's so much violence, your doctors are so much better at treating it.
Yeah.
So that's scary.
And again, let's just be very clear. This violence can be taken care of very, very rapidly if we just eliminated the structural discrimination that exists in our society that leads people, rather, to do violent acts.
Right. And especially in the middle of a pandemic, there's no more desperate time.
Absolutely. Pandemic weight gain in children. A significant increase in weight gain has been seen in U.S. children and teenagers since the COVID-19 pandemic began. According to a new study conducted by the CDC, the biggest jumps occurred in younger school-age children and those who were already prone to obesity. NPR reports that the study looked at 432,000 people between the ages of 2 and 19 years old and found that the percentage of obese children and teens increased to 22%, compared with 19% before the pandemic. Dr. Allison Goodman of the CDC's National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion and one of the study's main authors described the results as substantial and alarming. The authors also noted that school closures, disrupted routines, increased stress, and less opportunity for physical activity and proper nutrition were likely key factors for the increased weight gain. Dr. Sandra Hasnek, medical director for the American Academy of Pediatrics Institute for Healthy Childhood Weight, told NPR that school closures, Disruptions due to sleep and physical activity schedules, stress, and social isolation during the pandemic had created the perfect storm for having issues with weight gain. It's the perfect storm for adults, too. The American Psychological Association reached out to 3,000 adults aged 18 years and older about some of their experiences during the pandemic. Since March of 2020, 42% of the people reported an unwanted weight gain, with the median amount of weight gain reported by that group being 15 pounds. So if your child has experienced weight gain during the pandemic, don't focus on the weight specifically, as it can lead to poor body image or eating disorders. Instead, focus on supporting healthy habits. First, talk with your children's pediatrician to make sure that there aren't any underlying issues. And once you get the all clear from the pediatrician, you can focus on making positive behavior changes. Encourage routine bedtimes, structured eating at mealtimes instead of snacking all day long, getting them moving and more active instead of playing video games or constantly watching TV, and then make the changes as a family so that your child doesn't feel singled out. Update on Mississippi mothers-to-be. Recently, we spoke about an increase in unvaccinated and expectant mothers in Mississippi that were dying or losing their unborn babies due to contracting the coronavirus. Now, new information has been discovered that changes that narrative. According to ABC News, there have been several reports of pregnant women being turned away from getting the shot. Dr. Michelle Owens, a maternal and fetal medicine specialist at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, said some of the patients had reported to us that they had gone to be vaccinated but were turned away from pharmacies because they were pregnant. Now, as we mentioned in the previous podcast episode, the thought was that women were being vaccine hesitant. Instead, Dr. Marty Tucker, chair of obstetrics and gynecology at the medical center, said people are kind of adverse to pregnant patients when they come in. They're hesitant to give pregnant patients medications, and certainly vaccinations fall into that category. Now, in light of the concerning reports, the state health officer issued a standing order for women to receive COVID-19 vaccines during pregnancy to give pharmacies some reassurance that it's okay and recommended for pregnant women to get immunized at any stage in pregnancy. Health officials and physicians are working together to reduce barriers to vaccinations for pregnant women and are trying to amplify this information so that whenever a pregnant person shows up to receive a vaccine, they are welcomed with open arms and no provider feels like they can be turned away. They can't come soon enough because in Mississippi, 72 patients have experienced late pregnancy loss and 15 pregnant women have succumbed to the virus. More than half of them have died since the end of July. None of the pregnant women who died were fully vaccinated and the majority were overweight. Dr. Owens, the maternal and fetal medicine specialist in Mississippi, summed it up perfectly by saying, "It's really the most important thing to give pregnant women an opportunity to still be able to live to fight another day. And it's imperative that women know that the COVID-19 vaccine is safe, approved, and recommended, and that it makes a big difference in whether or not a patient has severe disease or potentially could die."
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and to leave us a review, letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at www.hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at the Dr. Derry, that's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and to see and share our amazing animations and to find out more information about us and the show, go to noisefiltershow.com.
Just as a reminder, COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, do share the same risk factors. We are so grateful to our sponsors, Access Health Louisiana, and to the South Central AETC. You can learn more about them at www.scaetc.org. Hope, any last words?
Yes, stay well out there, folks, and continue taking the steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, and seeing your healthcare provider regularly.
And protect yourselves and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. As an infectious diseases doctor, I also want to share with the healthcare providers in our audience that the HIV Care Tools app was recently launched by the AIDS Education and Training Center, the AETC. And it's a fantastic tool for ensuring your patients have access to the best standard of care. I encourage you all to check it out. And remember, health is a human right.